Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I prepare for us this evening to look at John chapter 3 together, please. Let's turn to John chapter 3. It's a blessing to hear people like Gary and Ian when they preach, I sat in the chair and I was just rejoicing in God and praising Him that the Word of God is so wonderful, the Word of God is so excellent, and it shows us so much, it teaches us so much, and through preachers like Gary and Ian, I could be nothing but feel inadequate. But even in my inadequacy, I feel rejoicing because it is right that, well, I wish people can, I wish God can raise up more people like Gary and Ian. But at the time when I feel inadequate, I praise God that I know about it, rather than say, the people in this world, they will put other people down to lift themselves up. But the Spirit of God doesn't let me to do that. And the Spirit of God spurs me on to tell me to work harder, to pray harder, to spend more time on the knee and on His Word. And that is the right way to do it. And I think this passage this evening, and the Lord also show us something very similar. It is a well-known theme about being born again. Let us see what the Word of God has for us this evening. Just want to read from verse 1 to verse 8. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now, this evening I will predominantly be focusing on verse 3 and verse 5. "And truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And again in verse 5, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Throughout our lifetime, we see many changes, don't we? And I remember when I was little, I often hear my mum and dad said, they comment and say, "The world is changing so fast. There are so much changes in the world." And I looked at them and I didn't have a clue what they were talking about, because I had very little experience of what the world was like then. I only had the few years that I had in front of me, and I thought, well, everything seems the same to me. Get up in the morning, brush my teeth, put my school uniform on and go to school and come home and have tea and do my homework and go to bed. Every day is the same boring day. But no, the world has changed. I can say now I have seen, I've built up more years in my life and I can see that the world has changed so much. We had the local election on Thursday night Thursday all day, and people came out to vote because they wanted to see changes. They wanted to see that somehow, by their effort, by what they participate in, with what is provided for them, a mean of letting their voice known they went out and vote, because they know that the world needs to change. They know that the world cannot stand still. They know that there is something wrong with this world that is changing. And you know, we also experience changes not only in this society, not only in the world, but personally, we change, don't we? We ourselves change. And when we go through different stages of our life and our change are often spurred on by different situations we found ourselves in, and when we are young and our parents would making decisions for us, like, well, which school should they go to? And when we're older, we kind of like make our own decision, oh, what college we go to, what uni we go to, what job shall I go for, who shall I go out with, and who shall I get married with, when shall we have children, and how shall we bring up our children? All sorts of things, all sorts of decisions, they change us. And we are molded in different ways by these decisions that we make and by the environments that we find ourselves in. Changes after changes after changes. But probably a lot of people would agree that, well, the biggest life-changing thing in their life probably is, say, when they get married. And because there, your life absolutely changed direction. You're not on your own anymore. You're with someone else. There are two people to consider. And it is a totally new life, and people see a new beginning in that. And some people think, well, it may be it is when they change job, when they have promotion. Oh, when I have more money I can spend, when I can do more of it. And I can see what the world is like out there. And then we are probably all believers here, and we all experience the greatest change ever in our life, and it's when we give our life to God. When we give our life to God, we're here, it's described as being born again. I've got to say, as a Christian, we have a privilege to see that no matter how much change there is in the world out there, no matter how different the world is from our own worldview, no matter how much the world disagrees with us, we never need to get into a situation where we feel that it is hopeless. And I think that is the privilege of every Christian, every believer in Christ, that we don't need to think of a situation, no matter what comes onto us, that we would call it hopeless. Because in God we have a sovereign God who is all-powerful, who is all-knowledgeable, and He is in control of absolutely everything. And we have to believe in that. You know, some changes in the world recently isn't that pleasant at all. People changing themselves, right? Right. It's quite a normal thing for a lady to change their hairdo. You can change your hairdo every day if you want. You can change different color, red, green, yellow, one day or the other. It isn't a life-transforming change. But some people would change their sex these days. That is a life-transforming change. Why are people doing that? I don't understand it. I don't understand it, and I have no control over it. And to the extent that I learned that at school, children these days, they are being taught on these things. They are being taught that they can choose their sex. They are taught that they can have contraception and even abortion without the parents' consent. And the world is changing in the way that, whether we like it or not, it is going that way. It changed. It changed in the way that we don't favor it at all. We cringe at it. Lord, what are you doing? What are we to do in these circumstances? But we are never hopeless. We are never hopeless because no matter what situation it is, we have the power too of prayer. We can talk to God about it. We can seek His word about it. And He has His Holy Spirit to lead us and help us. And we can turn to God about it. And we are never hopeless. Perhaps as Christians, we can afford to be optimists in every area, in everything. Christ, He has the victory. If Christ could die on the cross and even die, and even after 3 days came up from the grave, rose again, alive, what is there to be afraid of? There's absolutely nothing. There's absolutely nothing. So how come we see things differently? How come Christians can afford to see things differently? And we actually see things differently from the world. Well, the answer is here in verse 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Those who doesn't get born again, those who haven't been born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. But those who have been born again, they do see the kingdom of God. They do understand what the kingdom of God is. We see the world in the context of the kingdom of God. We see the world in the context of the word of God. And that helps us immensely. That gives us an absolutely different perspective. People can either see the world as it is, or they may see the world within the context of the kingdom of God. One is temporary, and the other is eternal. This world is temporary. The kingdom of God is eternal. We can see this world as temporary, under the power of Satan. And the other world, the kingdom of God, is forever under God's power. The spiritual blindness is what everyone has been infected with in this world. They are spiritually blind because perhaps they are spiritually dead. But God has chosen some to be spiritually blind, and while He chose others to be spiritually blind, yet they shall see. Not all of them shall remain blind forever. In Luke 8, verse 10, Jesus said, to you it has been given the knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. There are those who will never see. There will be those who will never hear and never understand. The most pitiful of all is in Revelation regarding the church in Laodicea. Revelation 3:17, for you say, I am rich, I am prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Blindness prevents people from seeing the kingdom of God. Blindness prevents people from learning about the hope that they have in Christ. Blindness prevents people to be able to see the world in the true light as it truly is. So Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And unless one is born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you cannot see the kingdom of God, how can one enter into the kingdom of God? The two phrases here are parallel with each other, and they both begin with those words, unless one is born again. Unless one is born again. Unless one is changed. Unless one experiences this change, this all life-transforming change in their life. This indeed is the most important change that one needs. In the dialogue of Jesus and Nicodemus, he revealed that, well, we learn that by being born again, Jesus is not talking about an ordinary birth. He's talking about spiritual birth. And spiritual birth is not any less real than the ordinary birth. The day will come when each one of us will die, but while the life in the flesh comes to an end when we die, our life in the spirit carries on. People can't see it because they have been struck blind. Ian's been covering Romans 1 at the moment in the morning, hasn't he? And the other week, he came to the list of the vile sins that was in the passage, and Ian had to give his apology that he had to use those words, that he had to preach on those sins. You know, as Ian pointed out, that list of sins to the world is nothing. It is not illegal to any of them, most of them, and to the world, they don't regard it even as sin. So why do we, when we read these words, read that list, we have such reaction? Because we see. Because we see sin as they are. Because we can see the kingdom of God. We see these things in the light of the kingdom of God. So rejoice. Rejoice when you know that these things are cringeful. These things are shocking. That we don't want to speak it even. Don't want to mention it. We don't even want to think about it. Because God has called us as a holy nation, as a holy people. He cleansed us and he prepared us for his kingdom. He prepared us as a holy people, sanctified, cleansed. And because we see these things as they are, while the non-believers, they do not see, and they remain in the darkness. And the problem with that is Romans 1:24. It says, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts, that as they continue to live in their sins, as people continue to just, I would have been in that position, and so will not every one of you. We would have been continued living in that condition. We would have thought nothing of blaspheming. We would have thought nothing in cheating, in lying, in doing all these things. We have thought nothing of doing any of such things if we had not been saved by God. Because God, in the hardening of people's hearts, when their hearts were so hardened, he gave them up in the lust of their hearts. In verse 28, he gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. People who continue in that way, they will simply go deeper and deeper and deeper into it because they do not see. But then here in chapter 3, in verse 19, Jesus said, the light has come in the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because the works were evil. That is why non-believers cannot see the kingdom of God, and neither can they enter it. Born again is change that everyone needs. It is the change. It is the one life-changing event that everyone should be waiting for. When Jesus answered to Nicodemus, Nicodemus said in verse 4, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He is a well-learned person. He must be an intelligent person. And I think immediately after he asked those words, why did he ask that question? How can one be born again? How can one be born second time? How can one get back into his mother's womb? And how can one be born when he is old? Of course you know that people can't. But to the unsaved, the language of the kingdom of God is the meaning of the things of the kingdom is blinded from them. They cannot see. The term born again, it actually means born from above. But Nicodemus, being earthly in his mind, being inclined to his flesh, and that thinking, all that he could think of was, it doesn't make sense. Born from above, born from heaven, born again, it doesn't make sense. But Jesus answered him in verse 5 without using a parable. And I think Jesus wants Nicodemus to learn. I think Jesus wants Nicodemus to understand. Because to some, Jesus would speak in parables so that in hearing they do not hear, so that in seeing they do not see, and in hearing they do not understand. But to Nicodemus, Jesus expands on what born again and seeing the kingdom of God is. He said, unless one is born again, in verse 5, he cannot, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The two parallel phrases, born again, born of the water and of the Spirit, seeing the kingdom, enter the kingdom, they are each in parallel with each other. But Jesus put on the additional meaning to what he was saying. And if we turn to Ezekiel, chapter 36, it will give us further explanations to that. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 25 to 27, it says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. I think this perhaps is the best explanation of what Jesus said to Nicodemus. And there are three things here. There are three things that happens to a person when someone becomes born again, according to this prophecy from Ezekiel. First of all, to become born again, he must become cleansed. He must be clean. To become born again, firstly, our sins must be washed away. NIV used the terms impurity. Now, King James or the New King James Bible, they use filthiness. And all these terms, uncleannesses, filthiness, impurity, they are all talking about our sins. They are all description of our sins. And the physical ceremony of washing with water is the representation of spiritually when we are being atoned and washed by the blood of Christ. By his sacrifice,
By his blood, Jesus cleanses from our sins. The righteous for the unrighteous, his precious blood of the sinless, washing away the filthy, the impure, the impurity and the filthiness of the sinners. We must be clean. We need to be made clean. Hebrews 9:11-14, it reads, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctified for the purification of the flesh, how much more would the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And that's why when we come across descriptions of sins, even just the descriptions of it in Romans 1, we've been cleansed. When you've had a bath, you don't want to go out and play around in the mud, do you? You don't even want to look at it. You'll be disgusted by it. But because we've been cleansed by the blood of Christ, these things are defilements to us. By being clean, it is another word for making us holy. It is another word for sanctifying us. So we are cleaned and we are separated, made suitable, made feasible, made qualified to enter the kingdom of God. So secondly, after we've been cleaned by being born again, the second thing is, once we've been cleaned, we are being prepared to receive a new heart. God will not put a new heart in you unless you are clean. God will not put his new heart, any new heart, he will not put anything in you unless you are prepared, you are clean, you are cleansed by the blood of Christ. And because it is the right condition, he will place his new heart in you. You've been born, as described in here, replacing a heart of stone. It's being removed. The heart of stone is lifeless. It is already dead. It can never be revived or made alive. That is what we had when we were blind and wretched and naked and poor. And yet, that was the condition we were in when we cannot see the kingdom of God. But we will be given a new heart of flesh, one which we can truly live with. You know, our heart is a vital sign of life. It's a vital sign of life that when new babies are born, they listen to the heart and check the heart rate and it is beating. When pregnant women and go for their scan, they check for the heartbeat to see, is the baby all right? It is the vital sign of life. And a heart of stone doesn't beat. A heart of stone has no life. Of course, no one is born, no one really has a heart of stone, not in a physical way, but it is in the spiritual way. It is in the spiritual way. And so the heart of flesh that is to replace the heart of stone, it isn't talking about a natural change of heart, but it is the supernatural change of a heart. The natural state of man is having a lifeless heart of stone. But once we are born again, It is the supernatural state of man. We have a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh. We receive a new heart from God when we are born again, when we are being born from above for our new life. A new life with a heart that came from God would also beat for God. It is a heart that would be made glad when His word is being read. It is a heart that would leap for joy when His voice is being heard. And it is a heart that would be eager to follow His commands. This is the new life that lives for God. Hallelujah. Are you excited by this?
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we hear this every week. Once we've been made clean, once we've received the new heart, the greatest news of all, the third thing, I'm excited.
Yeah.
He's giving us a new spirit.
Yeah.
He's giving us His spirit, God's own spirit, God's Holy Spirit for us. And look at this, all three things, the person who received all these things being done to them is passive. It's done to them. He cleanses us. He puts His heart in us. He puts His spirit in us. It is not based on our merits. It is not based on our efforts. It is not based on who we are, what we've done. But God, He's done it. We receive the new heart. It is all by grace. It is all by grace. And that is what Jesus Himself had promised. I love the book of John because it's got chapter 14 in it. Verse 16, 17, I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. And he said, verse 23, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. And he will come to him and make our home with him. And verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The gift of the Holy Spirit lives in us. He doesn't visit us once a week. He is in us all the time. He lives there. He makes His dwelling with us. The Spirit of truth, He comes. He declares to you the things that are to come. Having been cleansed, having received a brand new heart from God, we are now ready to receive God, the Holy Spirit Himself. Now, even though we're blind, we're able to see the kingdom of God because the Spirit gives us the light, the enlightenment. He enlightens our vision. He enlightens our understanding. He enlightens the minds that is darkened by sin. What a gift and what grace we have. The NIV says, causes the Spirit, the Counselor, because He teaches us, He works with us, He is gentle, He understands, and the Spirit of God, He never force feed us. He doesn't force feed us the truth, the Word of God. He gives us time to grow. We were only newborn baby. He could not give us meat. But as we are growing, we learn more and more, and he gives us more and more. He is our Counselor. He is our Helper. He guides us and He speaks to us, declare to us the things that are to come. The apostles were able to write it down for us because the Spirit enlightens them and bring these things to their memory. And not just the apostles. Luke wasn't an apostle. Anyone who is born again has this privilege. The Spirit of God makes his written words precious to those who have been born again. Not by our intellect, but by the Spirit we accept it. By his Spirit we accept these words as the word of God. We do not doubt it. We won't. We do not seek to disprove it. Have we ever, since you've been saved, have you ever turned to something in the Bible and said, that can't be right, that can't be right. That is wrong, that. Have we ever done that? No, you don't. Because the Spirit bears witness within you that this is the Word of God. We do not look for loopholes in the Bible, and we trust in it wholeheartedly. Why? Because the born again can see the kingdom of God in this, and we can see it all around us. The Holy Spirit, he makes sense for us the events that have happened and are happening in this world around us, whether it be politics, whether it be warfare, whether it be human behavior, to science, to psychology, to economics, to crime, to media, to technology, and everything. The Spirit teaches and makes sense and help us to see these things in the context, in the light of the kingdom of God. And when we see them in the light of Scripture, we see the truth for what they are in relationship to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Being born again, a wonderful life-changing event. We are fail-safe for the kingdom of God. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Christians don't backslide. I'm not saying that Christians don't make mistakes. I'm not saying that Christians, having been born again, they never ever sin again. But for the eternal resting place, for what we have been predestined for that kingdom that God is leading us to, step by step, we will go there without fail. We will go there without fail, no matter how much you have failed. I probably would never make a great preacher like Ian, like Gary. But we will both go to the same place. I'll probably never have the love for children like Marie. You call them little angels. And some people, they have so much love. But if we have the Spirit of Christ, we are all different. He will take us there. He is our hope, and that is why we hope. We see light where there is no light. We see hope where there is no hope. Because we have been born again to see the hope and to see the light who came into the world. So all that we have got to do once we've been born again is to grow. Is to grow. That is the only thing we have to do. We have to grow. Galatians 4:14, Paul said to the believers, "My little children," it is a very endearing term, affectionate, "my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." As we grow, how should we grow? We should grow in the likeness of Christ. Let Christ be formed in us, and we grow in his into his likeness. Again, Romans 8, verse 10, if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And because we have this life, even our body is dead, we will continue to grow. Verse 29, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Growing up after being born again is a continuing process. It is the continuing process of growing and of sanctification. Sometimes it is hard, But as long as we can see where we're going, as long as we fix our eyes on Christ, as long as we can see the kingdom of God, as long as we can put everything in the context of what the kingdom of God is, we can keep on growing. Take plenty of food, spiritual food, manna from God, plenty of exercise, come out to the open air with us, witness to your neighbors, study the word, and all these things promote the growth. And we don't even know when the growing is happening. But I tell you, one day you will look back and say, oh, I've actually come a long way. I actually used to be like that and like that as a new Christian, but I've changed over the time. It is God changes us. God changes us and God molds us. We will one day just suddenly realize that we are growing to become more Christ-like. And don't brag to everyone about this, but brag to yourself about it. And we do, don't we? When we're growing up and we have this marking on the wall and say, well, yeah, I'm 5 foot tall now. Now I'm 5 foot two. Now I'm 5 foot four. I'm 5 foot five. I'm growing. You be glad that you're doing that. And so be glad that we can grow in Christ. John Newton said, I might have quoted this before. He said, I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hoped to be in another world. In other words, he realized that he's not perfect yet. He's not what he ought to be. He's not what he wants to be. And he's not what he hoped to be. But still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am who I am. So, there we are. By God's grace, let's hope, let's pray, and let's work to that end that Christ has asked us to do. It's preach the gospel to all nations, and let more people to join us. Let more people experience the life-changing experience of being born again. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you for your word, for it is the truth. And we can read it and we can speak on it. And every time we read it, it is still true. It is timeless. It is the only thing that doesn't change. It is the truth that doesn't change with time. It is the truth that doesn't change because people have changed. It is the truth that doesn't change because the world has changed so much. Your word is constant. And every time we read it, Lord, it fills us with joy. It fills us with the assurance and the certainty and the comfort that in you we are secure and we are safe. And we want to help those who are not secure and who are not safe. And may your message of joy, may your message of goodness and mercy and grace of God spread throughout this word, through your servants, not just through our words, but through our lives, through our examples that we live, and through how we interact with those around us. And may we grow more and more closer to you and more like you and become like you until that day we shall fail no more. Until that day, we shall absolutely sin no more because the imperfect that is in our body will be cast away forever. And you will give us a new body and to dwell in your kingdom forever and ever. And we look forward to that day, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.